Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Sunday, Bloody Sunday has begun. As we have literally and figuratively just arrived. Like, seriously. I don't know if this is the closest I've ever cut it or done. I don't think so. I think once at the score, actually. Once when we were on the score years ago, I remember, it was the Fight Network. Yeah, it was the Fight Network, Fantasy Sports Network. It was the Alabama-Clemson game. I was in Vegas, and pretty much, like, I rolled right into the studio from the airport, except I went hard, like, hard the night before. Like, I thought I was going to die type thing. I think it was, like, one of the toughest times I've ever had getting through a show. And, in fact, if you guys remember, they actually posted a picture of me where I was taking, like, naps during the breaks. Our breaks were a little longer. We had like a 3 or 4 minute break. I'd pass out for a minute. All right, let's go. But we're feeling good. We're ready to rock. Let's go. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. As I just tweeted up, people better tune into this damn show. Most normal, sane people wouldn't have done a show tonight. Most normal, sane people don't say, yeah, you know what? I'm arriving at like 7:50 and I'm on at 9, but I think I can pull this off. I think I can pull this off. I got to tell you too. Today's flight was like one of the longest flights that, like, God, it was long. Like, just like one of those deals. I don't know, like, people that fly, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, sometimes, like, going, I gotta tell you, the flight there was freaking fast. And the flight there is actually technically longer, right? With the wind or whatever, you know what I mean? It was any longer, but, like, going was pretty quick and smooth. Coming back, of course, I literally and figuratively, this is what I get for complaining about babies on planes. I had a baby, like, right beside me, like, on the other side of the aisle. Like, I was on the aisle seat, and then there was a father and a baby right beside me. And, I don't know, out of the 5 hours, the baby was chirping for about four of them. And I don't understand, like, parents think that, I get it, like, they're used to their babies and stuff like that, but it's like, I don't know, I guess everyone just have headphones on. But I'm one of those people, I just sit there, like, staring ahead. I'm trying to sleep and stuff. The kids, like, crying, screaming. It was one of those deals, like, every time I'd look at the time wouldn't move. I don't like looking at the clock either. Like, I don't like looking at the time when I'm on a plane. I don't want to know. I just sort of like, all right, are we landing yet type thing. And I made the mistake of looking. And I was thinking, I'm pretty good at guessing, too. I'm like, all right. I'm thinking, man, we've probably been in the air for about 3 hours now or something. I was actually able to fall asleep a bit, and I woke up. I look, and I'm like, you're telling me that was an hour and 45 minutes only? And then it got in my head where I was sort of looking at the time all the time, and I was like, dear God, like, this just doesn't, like, God, this is slow. One of those deals, too, when I got back, I don't usually have checked baggage. I travel very light, but not today. I had, like, massive hockey bags and guitars and all kinds of stuff, man. So I had to wait to check baggage. And, of course, my stuff's, like, the last to come. I'm waiting forever. I'm panicking, looking at the clock. I'm like, oh, God, going to be cutting this show close tonight. Going to be cutting it close. All right, well, it's not getting cut close right now. Pelicans. Pelicans rolling the Suns, man. We got a series here. This stuff's getting real. Series about to be tied at 2. They're up by 14. Under 5 minutes remaining. Mo Khan's going to step up and in and join us. I'm not out of the loop. I'm not out of the loop, but like I said, I've been in an airport all day. Anyone to know, like I said, it's a 5-hour flight. You got to get there like before. You know, when you travel domestically, you're supposed to only, you can get there like 60 minutes before. And thank God I did not do that in Toronto today. Like, I showed up in Toronto literally like 3 hours before the flight. Just because I checked out of the hotel, it was, what am I going to do? I had a ton of stuff, so I just went right to the airport. And it took like 2 hours to check in. That airport is hell on earth, man. It really is. Like, I'd forgotten about Pearson. It was been out of my life and stuff. Like, Toronto's a frustrating city, man. Like, Toronto is a frustrating, like, I'm used to the West Coast stuff now. Like, in Toronto, everyone's just, lack of a better term, everyone's a dickhead, right? Like, there was arguments everywhere. Like, everyone just argues. I get into a taxi. The taxi driver got into a big fight with, like, the doorman of the hotel. And he filed. The guy's, like, the whole time yelling on the phone, like, because I'm in the guy's taxi. It's like, bro, can you do this, like, when you don't have passengers here? But, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this place. Just how, like, angry everybody is. Toronto's an angry city. It just is. It's an angry city. But God bless the Rageaholics. Toronto's definitely one of our, I think it's our biggest city, like, as far as fans and stuff like that. There's not a lot of towns, man. Like, put it this way, like, I just tweeted out casually, oh, yeah, I'm going to this sports bar after the game, and we had more.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
People show up that I had show up at my road rage in Vancouver when I announced it and promoted it for 2 months. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. Oh, one tweet in Toronto, we filled the bar up. It was insane. The place, like, we took it over. Like, people were rolling in. I'm like, I look up, I'm like, the bar is packed and it's all Rageaholics. Great stuff. You guys are the best. Hardcore. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We unpack. Literally and figuratively, there's a lot to unpack, including our own bags. We've just gotten back from the airport. We were in Toronto for game four. The streak is done for games that I go to where the team always loses. So it's nice to be on the winning side, although Fred VanVleet's now injured. Man, it's one thing after another. Injuries in the NBA playoffs, man, it's crazy. Kyle Lowry's out now. Who isn't out? Everybody's up. Everybody's out, but Luka Doncic is back in, and Mo Khan bats leadoff tonight. So we got Jason B. Tack, if it'll join us later. We'll talk baseball with the three-time champion, general manager, A-ball with the Toronto Blue Jays, Vancouver Canadian GM. Jason B. Tack, if it'll kick with us. We've got Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano, joins us every Sunday, and Mo's been joining us on Sundays lately, and it's the last time to talk to Mo before the NFL draft. We'll be live at the MGM Grand on Wednesday, but we'll be broadcasting at the Sportsbook on Thursday, so come on by and say hi Thursday and Friday at the Sportsbook. I'll be doing the radio show, I think in the suite. So we're going to see about the radio show. I know the TV show is in the Sportsbook area. And like I said, starting on Thursday, we'll have all the announcements tomorrow on TV, the show times and schedules and all this type of stuff. But it's going to be off the hook in Vegas. Mo Khan steps up and in. Mo, TSN Radio, always a pleasure. Mo, how you doing tonight?
I'm well, Gabe. The weather's fantastic. It's a monumental sports week for all of us to enjoy this week coming up.
Man, it's been a lot of stuff going on. Big news, like, you know, historical, Cabrera's 3,000th hit, NBA playoffs, and of course, Guy Lafleur passed away. Let's start off with Guy Lafleur. And there's, you know, one thing, Mo, that Mo's in Montreal right now. So one thing, Mo, that the Canadians do best is ceremonies. I don't know what it is, why they do it. Whoever, like, produces their ceremonies is, like, the best in sports at it. Like, no team in any league can ever come close to, like, what these guys do. And, you know, it's just, it's in their DNA. They just know how to do it. And, you know, Guy Lafleur, of course, is number 10. Got a 10-minute standing ovation, which I think is fitting for one of the faces of, like, the franchise for the most part. Like, he's my favorite Montreal Canadian player of all time. He was my favorite hockey player of all time. And I say that, and I'm even a goalie, right? And I was a goalie. I like Ken Dryden, too, but I like Guy Lafleur better. Like, Guy Lafleur, right, to me, just was the Canadian. I didn't mean to leave out Jean Béliveau, because I said, you know, the two real faces are, like, were the Rocket, Maurice Richard, and Guy Lafleur. And I get it, Jean Béliveau. Jean Béliveau is like a big gentleman and stuff, right? And he's sort of in the middle, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, it sort of started with the Rocket and the passion that he brought to the fans. Like I said about Béliveau and some of that. I said, I love Jean Béliveau, but when somebody said, hey, don't forget Jean Béliveau, I said, hey, Jean Béliveau never started a riot, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people rioted for Maurice Richard, bro. It was just, you know what I mean? So, like, Jean Béliveau, just so gentlemanly, but, and then, you know, and then they're the dominance of the 70s, but, and somebody too, Mo, I remember in Montreal, I'm sure you've spoken to him. I mean, you're a producer, yeah. and interviewed and stuff, and, like, but even, like, in the old days, like I said, I don't really, I've interviewed everybody, you know, from Mike Ditka to Jerry Rice to, you know what I mean, you name it, pretty much. I've had them on the show over the years. But Guy was the one guy. I wasn't nervous, but just super excited all the time in the old days. I'm on quite a few times, too, on the Team 990. Not quite a few, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But always so nice for, like, a legend. And it was always, like, I remember I was so happy once he remembered my name. He said, hey, Gabriel. And I was like, whoa, man, Guy Lafleur. And I ended up doing one of my live events at Guy's place out there in Laval or wherever it was. I forget. Longueuil, Laval, you know, whatever. But an emotional day today. True legend. What's the feeling in the city?
Sadness, Gabe. You know Quebec culture very well. That hockey is the fabric of this province, of this city, of this entire nation of Quebec. Where losing someone like Guy Lafleur, who connected, and you're bang on, he connected with everybody, whether you're Gabe Morenci, whether you're Mo Khan or Joe Schmo out there, everyone felt welcomed by Guy Lafleur for what he did.
And yeah, everybody liked him. It's true.
Everyone loved him, Gabe, right? And even in his post-hockey career, he wasn't afraid to talk bad about the Montreal Canadiens. And fans were like, he connects with us. He is saying what we see as fans about this team not being great whenever they were going through some tough times. And I think now, you know, and guys like Chris now who played with them, it's a big loss. It's a big loss for this community. And it's going to take a long time for them to get over this. And the thing is, with Lafleur, when you think about his level of excellence, Gabe, to do what he did in the 80s and to take time off and come back 3 years later to play for the Rangers, then the Nordiques, and still be a pretty solid force out there, he was a guy that really was the last connection to the era of dominance for the Montreal Canadiens before Patrick Roy took over for two cup runs back in the 80s and 90s. And now you lose that connection, and heaven forbid, hopefully no one else goes away anytime soon here, but you start to lose these older names here that were the fabric of the Montreal Canadiens hockey organization for the last 30, 40, 50 years.
He's the first, isn't he, of this team? Like, I'm just thinking, like who's passed? You know what I mean? Like, Ken Dryden's alive. Steve Schutt's alive.
Yeah.
Cournoyer passed away, right?
He's still alive.
Oh, did he? Sorry, and that's what I'm saying, didn't it? So who died? Are they all alive?
Andre Schwartz passed away a couple of years ago during COVID. But just the fact that the local...
Like Guy Lapointe, Serge Savard. Like, I'm talking about the team from the 70s. So yeah, he's the first one to go.
He's the first one to go, unfortunately. But the thing is, Gabe, it's just that domestic connection he has. And the thing is, you can talk to anyone, French or English, in the province of Quebec, they all have the same conclusion, that it stings to lose a guy that repped Quebec proudly, Gabe. And you know, you saw him play when he was one of the alphas on the ice. And now to lose that, I mean, there's a hole. There's a massive hole for the generation of hockey fans who adored Guy Lafleur. And now, you know, you appreciate for what he did and just enjoy it for what he was as a hockey player on the ice and off of it as a human being.
And a great player as well. And Mike Bossy passed away. We talked about him last week.
That's right, yeah.
Another Quebecer, another great legendary NHL player. It's tough. It's sad. You know, he made it to 70. He had a hell of a life, hell of a run. So it's not, you know, I try to be more happy and celebrate people's lives when they pass away as opposed to the mourning aspect of it. But you know, there's a sadness. And for me, I tweeted it out like on Friday when he passed. You know, step by step, Mo, like Montreal used to be just a great sports town, the city of champions and, you know, 6 Stanley Cups in 10 years. The Montreal Expos didn't win, but man, they had great players and Andre Dawson and Gary Carter, all these Hall of Fame players and Tim Raines. And hell, even the Montreal Alouettes. Marv Levy was the coach of the Alouettes. They were signing Heisman Trophy winners and Johnny Rogers. But Montreal was banging and rolling. And it's like just step by step. Like, the city, it dies. You know what I'm saying? Another piece. You know what I mean? Like, the Expo's gone. Guy Lafleur. Like, you know, Maurice Richard. Like, you know, Jean Beliveau. You know, we talk about, like, all these guys. Just piece by piece. You can't replace. Like, you know, you'll never top the 70s. I hate to live in the past and stuff, but it was such a special era for people then. I mean, I was, like, sort of like a kid in Boston was.
Yeah.
I just thought it was normal. I thought it was like just a summer parade or something where the Stanley Cup showed up. Yeah. like I didn't really realize how hard it was to, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, yeah, no. Like, basically, it was like this thing. No, yeah, in every May, there's a parade, like type thing, and they celebrate. Because I always bitch about how, like, the Stanley Cup now, they play too late. You know what I mean? Like, they award the cup on June 18th.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Or something like that. I always tell people I have memories. Like Guy Lafleur, Hoyce Cup, May 24th. You know, at the parade. So, you know, the end of May. Same thing. I think of the band Queen. Freddie Mercury's dad, the band Queen. Queen rocks Montreal. Filmed the movie there. More with Mo on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This lady says I'm an artist.
You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Kyle Schwarber absolutely lost it, and rightfully so. Angel Hernandez, this guy's a menace to society, and like I don't know, like is it supposed to be a joke or something like that? That how bad he actually is. Like it's beyond, like, you know, I get it today. I don't like this caller. This guy's got a little bit of a, all right. You know what I mean? Like guys will know, all right, this umpire, he'll give you a high strike. He'll give you, this guy's not going to give you the outside. This guy will. Angel Hernandez is just psychotic. There's no pattern to his madness. He's just like a nut job. He's got a massive strike zone, but it's funny. Noah Syndergaard just tweeted, I'm here for Angel Hernandez's strike zone forever. Kyle Schwarber, I thought Schwarber was going to hit him, like, briefly. Like, Schwarber, like, really, really, like, there's, like losing it and losing it. Like, he just lost it. I'm not here to bury anyone, Schwarber said after. But it just wasn't very good. You wish. I don't know really how to say it. It just wasn't very good. Guys were doing a good job tonight and not saying much. It just got me where I was going to stick up for some of the other guys. The Brewers saw some of the tendencies that set off Schwarber as well. Everybody saw the game. Everybody saw that he was at least consistent for both teams. I'm not going to say he was good because he wasn't, but at least he was consistent. Brewers catcher Omar Narváez. Sometimes you just got to adjust and leave the decision to the umpire. Like, Mo, you know what's bad, bro, when, like, players on both teams are ripping the ump. Not one saying, oh, that's baseball. And he's a catcher, this guy. Normally catchers will never say it. He's a catcher. He's saying, well, at least he's consistently bad for both teams.
The thing is, Gabe, right, baseball and their lack of a strike zone, it's not transparent. We know that, Gabe, right? Everyone has their own sweet spot for a strike zone, and Angel Hernandez is one of the more of the bigger culprits out there on a lack of certainty for pitchers out there to throw proper strikes out there or lack of. So I just think in baseball, it's just who you have on that Sunday to Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, et cetera here. And I think in baseball now, you wonder if that's going to be reinforced again to have an automated strike zone.
So yeah, because of him.
This is pop up. Yeah, because of him, exactly. This doesn't pop up anymore for moving ahead for future years ahead.
Yeah, you know what, though? Instead of bitching about it, we got to make money on it. And the fact of the matter is, Eric Lauer struck out 13 batters. So if the Angel Hernandez's strike zone is going to be as big as a warehouse wall, then we got to be taking the over strikeout props. That's what we have to be doing there. Mo Khan came with us. So, Mo, wow, New Orleans Pelicans. They're making this thing a series for real, man. Tied at 2 right now. Everything else after today is 3-1, right? Milwaukee 3-1. So Milwaukee beat Chicago 119-95. Denver gets it done. Denver is saying Golden State are beatable. Listen, calm down. You've won once. So Denver get it done, 126-121. The Miami Heat up on Atlanta, now 3-1, 110-86. So a couple of blowout wins. Denver wins at home, but we got with the Pelicans tying this thing up at 2. And I've been talking about it, Mo. Like, you know, the casual fan might think, who the hell are the Pelicans or how this is happening? But C.J. McCollum, man, the guy's a baller. He's been in the league a long time. He's played in big games before. Brandon Ingram, one of the top picks in the draft. I mean, Brandon Ingram's a big-time talent who's been overshadowed because of Zion all the time there. And people don't talk about the Pelicans. Jonas Valanciunas is a player that's played in a lot of playoff games with the Raptors. He's been in the conference finals before, that guy. Like, he's like the longest standing Raptor that didn't win a title type thing. Like, he got traded right before when they were about to win. So, and JV's improved his game. And then you throw in everyone else as well. And their house money mentality, where they're fearless, right? They have nothing to lose. The pressure's on Phoenix, and they've shown they can win on the road as well. This is a fun series right now.
It is. The Pelicans are providing a steal to their game, right? They're not going to back down from the Phoenix Suns with what they have. Even without Devin Booker, it's shown right now that for this team, they've outcoached the Suns in certain situations. You watch that second half tonight in New Orleans for what they did. They pounded and grounded the Suns into mistakes, getting the second, third chance opportunities to convert for points, and they made Chris Paul frustrated. You saw Paul take a technical, take a flag or one, I beg your pardon, late in the fourth quarter on Herb Jones, and you saw that they got under his skin. Now, the question moving back to Phoenix for games 5 here is, how will they get Chris Paul unleashed and get it out there to get the ball to DeAndre Ayton to find a third scorer to work with no Devin Booker out there. And I just thought with the Suns going to foul trouble early in the second half, it really curtailed their opportunities to go out there and be dominant. So I think the game 5 will be pivotal for the Suns, because we've seen New Orleans now at home. They're playing with house money, Gabe, but they don't care. They're going to go out there and punch you in the mouth, and that's what they've done so far the first 4 games of the series.
Mo Khan, kick it with us, TSN Radio's Mo Khan. All right, Mo, let's take a look at tomorrow's games right now. So how surprised are you? What's your take on the Boston-Brooklyn series, man, that the Nets are on the verge of getting swept right now? Down 3-0, Monday night, 7 o'clock Eastern.
Not surprised at all, Gabe. I thought the Celtics would win in 5 or 6, but to see in the fashion how Brooklyn was in that game on Saturday, for Steve Nash to use Blake Griffin, who hasn't played real basketball in like 18 months or so, give or take, and see him be out there huffing and puffing, you knew that he had nothing else to work with that bench of options that he has. And I think now you have to ask yourself, Gabe, right? There'll be a stiff examination of Steve Nash as a head coach for the Brooklyn Nets and whether or not he's the right man to lead the Chargers moving forward here, because he's been outcoached and this Nets team has been outplayed by Boston through the first three games. And Jason Tatum, we know how great he is as an alpha, but he has shown that he's complete regal in this whole process right now. So I think that move towards game four, if it gets swept, I think there'll be a lot of question marks about this Brooklyn team here and whether or not Steve Nash will be the head coach after this season.
He could. You're right. There's a lot of people criticizing him. I don't really know what he can do. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's not his. He didn't put the roster together. Marks did, right? And it's very similar situation to the Lakers in a sense that Nash is, you know, he might be the fall guy for this, but I don't really blame him per se. Right? I mean, look at the season, bro, with the Harden stuff and Kyrie not being able to play. I mean, did anybody really think it was just going to end like some sort of Disney movie in the end? No. Like you said, I bet on Boston to win the series. The thing is, to me, like you just mentioned, you got Blake Griffin on the team. You've got Andre Drummond on the team. You're like, yeah, this team would be great, all these guys 10 years ago. It's just this classic. You got a bunch of old dudes, Goran Dragic, and, oh, let's get these guys that'll play for not much because they think they can win here and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't work. And KD hasn't played well, but the roster sucks. And they, you know, they don't have Ben Simmons. So that's like, think about it. Well, that's like $40 million, $37 million, I guess to be exact, of a player that's not there, right? And he, yeah. I don't, you know, not there. I mean, the thing's a mess there right now. But you're right. I mean, Nash could pay, you know, he's going to get called out. He is getting called out. But I'll tell you what. I mean, they had a damn good coach before in Atkinson. They did.
Yeah, they did.
Right? And they ran him out because all they wanted the flash. And it's funny, too, because you remember, they made the playoffs. They had a good team, Mo. Like, think about, like, the little makeup of the team they had. Like, you know, look how good Jared Allen became. So Jared Allen was on the Nets. D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie. They had a good team growing, and they made the playoffs. And they, I think they went five. It wasn't six. I think they went five, but the game's really close with the Sixers. Nobody thought Brooklyn were going to make the playoffs. They did. They had Joe Harris. They had Atkinson was a good coach. They had something going. And, oh, let's fire the coach. Let's, yeah, you're done. And let's trade everybody so we can bring in KD and Kyrie. And, well, here, it really has been a disaster. You know what the similarity is between the two of them? The Nets and the Clippers, where the vision of, like, the elation of, like, oh, my God, we've got Kawhi Leonard, we've got Paul George, we're going to take over, we're actually going to win, like, and it's been a disaster. And same thing with the Nets, like from the Kyrie and KD and, oh, this is just who's going to stop them and they're going to be too good. And it's a couple of years in now and the pandemic hurt them. But I'm just saying, like, ownership, you know, the ownership didn't get what they expected in Brooklyn, or Ballmer didn't either in Los Angeles. I'll put it that way, for all the money that they spent.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this situation right now with Brooklyn, let's not forget that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving okayed and signed off on Steve Nash to be the head coach of this team. And they were all in. And you can see Kyrie yesterday, you saw KD in his post-game press conference that he had nothing to say, because even though KD has not played well in this series, he had an awful fourth quarter. I think he had, like, what, five turnovers in the second half of that, and that lost him to Boston.
Well, he's been bad all series. He just can't get going.
Awful.
He's getting worse.
Yeah, and this Brooklyn team has lacked the cutting edge on the offensive end here, where they go, we don't know what to do. Let's leave to Kyrie and Katie to bail us out every single time. And I'm just starting to think here, Gabe, with how this has been for Kyrie, with him not being vaxxed and finally get to play and stuff, if whether or not he's had heavy legs now moving towards into the playoffs of the West. So I think right now for Brooklyn, a lot of questions to be answered. If they get swept tomorrow on national TV, it's going to bring up even more questions of whether or not this team is still going to have that winner to win a title with these guys in place.
Yeah, that was my deal as well, Mo. And I said that after the Cleveland game and the play-in game. I said, listen, if there was two or three more minutes left in that game, Cleveland were going to win. Like, the Brooklyn players were, like, gasping. And it was one game. I was like, these guys can't beat Boston in a series. More with Mo on the other side.
Sport Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Marantz. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. I think we're holding up pretty strong, actually. Our throat, our voice, not too bad. Usually after I get off a plane, it gets to you. You're dry air and all that. But we're ready to rock. Mo Khan kicking it with us right now. We got Jason B. Takafan, Ian Cameron joining us a little bit later on. So, Mo, it's one thing out. We talk about the NBA playoffs and the injuries. Middleton's out. Booker's out. Lowry's out. Scotty Barnes was out. And they get Scotty Barnes back, and then they lose Van Fleet. It really is whack-a-mole. Like, it's unbelievable. And, you know, look, Luka Doncic was out, and he comes back. They end up losing, actually. But you imagine that, Mo, if Luka comes back and now they lose the series? They were up 2-1. Like, it could happen. It could happen, too, because you look at the style that they play. They change their tempo, their pace, and everything, right? Like when Luka was there, Luka walks the ball up the court, and the ball's in Luka's hands, and it's Luka and whatever, and you know what I mean? When with Brunson and Dinwiddie, they played much quicker, up tempo. Let's push the pace, take it to the rack, use your speed, take it to the rack, and it was working for them. Luka comes back, they slow it down. Luka will be better. They'll be better when they get back home and stuff. But you knew there'd be a little bit of adjustment. That's what happens, though, when a player is out, Mo, as you know, man. Guy comes back in, and it just throws things off a little bit. But what about the Raptors? They get the W. They're showing some life here. And in hindsight, it's just so, dear God, like, this series should be tied too, bro, right now. You know what I mean? Like, they really let him off the hook. Dennis Green, man. Like after they won that game, I thought I was happy. I'm like, you guys, like, really should be 2-2, and you'd have them on the ropes right now. You'd have all the momentum. Like, oh, man, that loss was bad. But can they steal this one on Monday? If they steal this one on Monday, it becomes real, man. What do you think? They're getting 7.5 points. The odds makers don't think they can win.
Yeah, I think the key will be their bench and what they do, because their bench played solid on Saturday afternoon game in Toronto. But also, I'll be curious to see what Doc does with Joel Embiid, because with his thumb injury now, will he keep him away from the paint in the attack zone and kind of stretch out the Raptors defending here? Because, again, if you don't have Van Vliet available on Monday and have to rely on a wealth of depth to come out there and try to contain with Joel Embiid, he might become a facilitator than a shooter. And we do know, and as we saw in Game 3 for what he did when he won that game of the death here, he could pose a problem from an exterior perspective on the court for the Sixers. So I think for Nick Nurse, it's a question of maybe going small ball, trying to attack the Sixers with their quicks and with what they have left right now from a roster perspective. And if Scottie Barnes is available on Monday, what do you do with him? Do you go with a pitcher's count here and give him minimal minutes here? Or do you say, you know what, Scotty, it's win or bust, as we know, you're going to go out there and play as many minutes as you can so you can give us something to work with here and alleviate the stress off of Siakam and others who have become the tour de force in this game on Monday in Philly.
Yeah, they're gonna have to dig down deep and find a way at this point in time to get some secondary scoring and grind through this. I think they can, actually. It's tough without Van Fleet. Now Malachi Flynn is gonna be on the court a bit in brief stretches. But he's a liability defensively, although the kid was playing hard. He does play hard now. When he's gotten his moments, he's taken his shot, at least. But he's a little raw and wild still out there. But it's tough right now. We'll see what the roster says tomorrow. We'll see who's actually in and who's out for the Raptors. But they really are the walking wounded right now. Utah Jazz going into Dallas. Dallas are 3.5-point favorites in this game. That's at 9:30. So the schedule is 7 o'clock Eastern, Boston and Brooklyn. 8 o'clock Eastern, Toronto, Philadelphia, Utah, and Dallas, 9:30 Eastern. Mavericks lay 3.5. What do you think about that one, Mo? I think now that he's got a game under his belt and they're going back home, it's hard not to like the Mavericks here.
It's hard not to like them, but let's not forget this pressure now on Luka to win, right? Because he's not gone out of the first round so far in his career in the NBA playoffs here. We know about Utah, right, with Quinn Snyder. We spoke about it last week, Gabe, about the fact that, look, this Jazz team has had some good rosters to work with, but they, too, have not been able to go deep in the playoffs under Quinn Snyder. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, from Quinn Snyder to come up with a better X and O's game plan that they have to be much more effective because, look, Rudy Gobert is a monster. The Mavericks don't have an answer for his presence alone here. Donovan Mitchell is a phenomenal two-way player here, and he's got to attack the rim here. And I think you're right, though, about with Luka Doncic. That look, at the end of the day, they want to go at a high-speed clip of an F1 car, but usually with Luka in the lineup here, they slow down at the 30-kilometer zone in a school area right now. So I think for Luka, can he find a second and third option that's going to be that force? Jalen Brunson has been phenomenal for them, but the thing is, though, we've been talking about this for the last couple of years here. It didn't work with Porzingis as a second option. You got to figure it out right now. Who gave you that second option in this series to alleviate the stress off of Luka Doncic to win this game all by himself?
Mo Cotton throwing it down with us. So, Mo, countdown to the NFL draft is on right now. And there's reports out of New York right now that, man, this is crazy, that Kadarius Toney could be available in a deal. That basically they don't want him. And I'm telling you right now, guys, this is like it's going to happen. So I think this is just, they just let everybody know. Hey, call us, right? Like, basically, like, they just put it out there publicly. All right, you know what I mean? So, in New York, so they took this kid last year in the first round, which they didn't need to. It was a dumb pick. And you figure, Mo, that a player in his second year in the league with a new coach would show up to the camp. Now, it's voluntary. It's a voluntary camp, but bro, it's a new coach. You're only in your second year in the league, and you were a bust. And you don't show up, right? And so Toney hasn't been in voluntary offseason workouts or this past week's minicamp. He doesn't even have the new playbook. So Dable says, like I said, this is a voluntary camp. The guys that are here, we're going to work with. The guys that aren't, they're going to miss out on some things. It's voluntary for a reason. That's the nature of the rules. And then it goes on to say, basically, that they're shopping him now. Like, he's already burnt his bridge. And that's it. You want it out, kid? All right. Good for you. But I didn't like the pick. I mean, like, he was unvaxxed. He missed constant. Like, it was always an issue with him. Right, so he wore the wrong size cleats for whatever reason. Can't even, you know what I mean? He skipped the voluntary off-season program. He tested positive for COVID multiple times. He ended up playing in 10 games only when it was all said and done. And not to mention, too, like, he says a lot of stupid things, too. Just his comments about anything is really just dumb. I don't want to say I told you so, but I told everybody. I said, this kid's just going to cause problems. Like, don't take Florida Gator wide players, bro. I don't want to cast a net on them all. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure some good kids, but I could just tell right away. Like, I don't know what the hell Gettleman was thinking. If it was Gettleman, I think it was Joe Judge, actually. Judge was the one. And that's the thing. Judge had more power than people realize with the player personnel. And this is the type of crap now. The Giants have to clean up this mess. I bet you he will not be on the team, Mo. He's going to get traded this week, Tony.
And don't forget, Urban Meyer wanted Kadarius Toney with their second first-round pick last year, which they took Travis Etienne, right? So he had a market last year. But look, the thing with Kadarius Toney, if you go back to his time in Florida, he was surrounded by a veteran group of receivers like Kyle Pitts, like Javon Grimes, with Freddie Swain and others who were there, Tyree Cleveland, that kept him in check. him going to the Giants, Gabe, look, we know how bad that was, that toxic environment that he was in. And it didn't work to his strengths. And I think now, whether or not Joe Shane can get value for him, probably won't get anything more than maybe a third, if not fourth round pick at best here. He's got to figure out, where can I get him out of this division, out of this conference? Because, look, Kadarius Toney has talent, but you got to put him in a strong team, in a strong environment for him to succeed, which is not going to be seen by the Giants last year with what they had going for them. And I think now moving forward here for the Giants, they have to say, look, we bleeped up on that. Let's get away from him and start anew with better pass catchers to work with for Daniel Jones or whoever that quarterback might be after the 2022 season.
It's one thing that they've done in Buffalo as well, and now you have a Buffalo Bill regime and with the Giants, is McDermott and company, they were never, and Bean and you know, Shane was Bean's, you know, right-hand man, etc. If they didn't like you, they didn't care, like, if they could just drafted you or you were this or that. Like, it doesn't matter to them. Like, your name, your draft pick, it doesn't matter. That if you're not one of them, if you're not going to buy into the team, or, like, they don't like me first guys, these guys. It's like there's a real pattern to what they do, right? They don't like me first guys. They like big dudes, right? They like young, aggressive, you know, big dudes, but they don't like sort of me first diva type of guys. Like, McDermott hates divas. He hates divas. And I know the Giants now, they same thing. So they see Toney. So I'm just stating that. Cut your loss early. And the thing is, like you said, Mo, they have no connection to this kid, right? We didn't draft him.
None.
Yeah. And in fact, Dable's never even met him. He said he spoke to him on the phone, right? So he's never even met him. So, like, he's like, I don't care. Get rid of the kid. He's not even here. So you can read between the lines. We'll work with who's here. I don't know. Like I said, bro, like, the Giants, too, and Galladay, you know, Galladay mailed it in, bro. Like, they just, a lot of bad, bad signings. But as far as the draft is concerned right now, Aiden Hutchinson is minus 175 to be the top pick. Trayvon Walker is plus 110 to be the number one overall pick at FanDuel. And then there's a big drop-off to Ekwonu at 23-1. Evan Neal, 24-1. Kayvon Thibodeau, 24-1. Malik Willis, 50-1. It's not, you know, it's Hutchinson, or I'm not sure Walker goes this high just because the media thinks he is, though. I tell you that. Like I said, maybe, you know, it does make sense that the Detroit Lions would take him because they are building, you know, they took Sewell last year. They're trying to get physical in the trenches on both sides. So I guess he could be in play there, but it also wouldn't surprise me if the Lions went with Kayvon Thibodeau. Second overall. How do you think it plays out right now, Mo?
Yeah, you know, going to the final 4 days before Thursday in Vegas, which will be their game. And look, I think this is the most polarizing NFL draft we've seen in years because we don't know, Gabe, who that first-round pick or first overall pick will be as in years past. I think for Aiden Hutchinson, he's a safe pick. He's a guy that will get you doubles and triples at times here. And I think for Jacksonville, I think they're split down because, again, we spoke about it last week. Trent Baalke will think outside of the box. Remember 2011, they took Alden Smith with their first pick when they bypassed J.J. Watt and others who went after him. And Smith had a great first 3 years of his career until he unraveled for him. And I think now that does Trent Baalke see another Alden Smith from an early success standpoint with Trevon Walker? If he does, I wonder if he can win that battle with Doug Peterson to get his guy than what Peterson wants in O-lineman to help with Trevor Lawrence's development.
I'll tell you what, Mo. One, looking at the draft, and like you said, this has been the most, I said the same thing, it's been the most volatile draft. Nothing's locked in. Nobody really knows anything. The teams don't know, really. And right now, though, Ahmad Gardner, his over-under is 5.5. He was riding in the 8.5, 9.5 zone forever. So that's a big jump right now. So this guy's got to go in the top five. I'm not sure he will. We'll wrap up Mo on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com.
Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. from airport to airport. McCarron up next. NFL draft. So we got two more minutes here with Mo. Ahmad Gardner, the cornerback out of Cincinnati Sauce. He was like 8.5, 9, Mo, and now it's 5.5. So he has to be like top five pick right now. And I don't think he will be a top five pick. And Charles Cross right now is at 7.5. And I don't think he'll last to 8, actually, Cross, personally. But I'm gonna get into this throughout the week. We're gonna investigate more right now. But what do you think about Gardner? And is he gonna be a top five pick?
I think there's a strong chance he will be. I think the sweet spot will be the New York Jets. Because if the Jets see that Sauce Gardner can be their lockdown corner in the slot defense, they'll take him at number 4. I think the Giants for Charles Cross is the sweet spot for himself, because I think Carolina right now at 6, Gabe, they're either going quarterback or O-line. And the Giants know that they're in a great position to get themselves the best O-lineman at 5. And then on the return of number 7, perhaps get Kayvon Thibodeau, who I think does not get out of the top 10 because of the way things have gone with that. I know there's a lot of question marks about his attitude and the preparation to go into the NFL.
It was not true. Thibodeau is going to be like a top 3-4 pick, I believe.
No question, right? And the guy that I'm curious to see is Evan Neal, the lineman from Alabama, right? Because what is his true position at the next level? Because he's played left tackle, he's played right tackle, he's played left guard. He's a lean player here, 6'7", 350, but he's a lean 350. So where do we see him at the next level? So I think Evan Neal will be the guy to watch out for, and whether he'll be a top 3 pick, top 5 pick, or top 10 pick when it's all said and done on Thursday nights.
And I've got Evan Neal, top 4.5. And, you know, I tell you, though, I don't know if his stock has dropped, but the odds have dropped on him. And people think Equan is going to be the first guy taken right now, offensive lineman. The Texans are really intriguing. They're the ones that are going to dictate this market by taking the old lineman if they do. Mo, always great stuff. Thanks for the time, Mo.
Always, brother. Take care. Enjoy Vegas.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.